You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm an imposter. Floating through my face.
My first question for you is, how you been? How are you? You've been full on lately, I can imagine.
Yeah, definitely. It's honestly been like a really full on few weeks, eh? Like, obviously some like incredible experiences and like super grateful and stoked on so much that has kind of happened in the past month. But I've also kind of come into a lot of bad luck. Like, I lost my passport and an amp that I was borrowing got stolen while it was in my possession. And obviously everything that went down at South By, not that that's a personal thing at me, just like another kind of spanner in the works. And I had a concussion before I came overseas. So I've like, it's been a really, really intense month. But yeah, also very rich and great too.
One of the first things I would love to talk to you about, though, is, well, actually just wish you, you know, tell you congratulations. Tate Music Prize finalist for 2024. Dude, that's it's so sick.
Thank you. I think it was like, yeah, I can't remember exactly where I was, but I think I maybe had just got into New York or I was at the airport or something like that. And yeah, it was just like such a beautiful, like, welcome piece of news coming from home, like being away and sort of like receiving that news. Felt really special and like, yeah, a really like nice moment to get that. I think it's also just like I've had enough kind of time and space now away from the record where, yeah, it doesn't feel so personal, but it feels more like it belongs to other people and also to like Ben, who produced the record, and just like my band, and just it feels kind of like, yeah, more celebratory in that way. Like, it doesn't necessarily just feel like mine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I feel like even with the record Ideal Home Noise, that felt like a record for a lot of people. Like, a lot of people can put themselves in that place. Obviously, it's quite a blunt, it's quite a raw record. You're dealing with some pretty heavy emotions on that one. It's coming up a year since you've released it, though.
Yeah.
Are there any reflections that you've had since releasing it?
It was pretty wild playing. I played Broadway Junction at the music festival in New York. And yeah, that was pretty crazy, eh? Like, having that experience of just being like, oh, I think it was like 2 years before that or whatever that I had been there and written that song. And then to kind of come back and have the song be recorded and out for some time and then be playing this festival was like, yeah, it was cool. It was like a rounded moment, and also to have kind of some levity around like even the song subject matter and things like that. Like, I went back to Broadway Junction, I went back to the station. It was really nice to just be there and feel quite separate from like that moment and that time. Not in a way that I don't experience those feelings now, but just kind of like, you get older and your perspective on things changes a little bit.
Actually, going a bit further back, what's really cool is that you got to open for Bright Eyes. What was that like, chatting or even just getting to chat with Connor, getting to perform alongside the band?
Yeah, I mean, they were lovely. They were really, really sweet. Honestly, like, I had a really bad experience at that show, though, because the audience was really loud and we couldn't, it was like me and my brother, and because it was Bright Eyes, we were like, cool, we're gonna play really like emotional kind of songs, and bad idea. Yeah, we like, it just was completely drowned out by like the noise of the bar. Like, we couldn't hear ourselves in the monitors, and it actually became quite a horrible experience. But it was really nice to be able to perform with my brother Albert River. He's amazing and probably going to come out with music soon, so like, watch that space. But it was really beautiful to be able to do that with him, and like, obviously mad respect for Bright Eyes and even everything like that. But yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's completely understandable. I mean, you do have those shows.
It's always a mixed bag being an opener, because like, sometimes it means it's really great because the audience will pay attention because they're like, oh, this is like someone chosen by the artist, or like, I want to pay attention to this person. But a lot of the time people were just waiting for the band they want to see play. And so it can be really like noisy and you can feel quite undervalued. So it's kind of like a mixed bag. It can go either way.
Now, when did you head over to Los Angeles? I thought you were still in Auckland for some reason. I was like, oh, surely she can come to the studio, like, it's super chill. Yeah, when did you relocate there?
Oh, no, I'm not relocated. I'm going to come back depending on if my passport arrives. But I just came here after Texas for a week, and was initially going to play a show. The show got cancelled. So just kind of been catching up with friends. And we did like a Dub Lab live to ear, which is like an online radio over here. And yeah, just been seeing music and hanging out.
What's been some of your favorite music sightseeing places, ooh, opportunities? I'm sure, I mean, there's a lot to see and do, especially in Los Angeles. But I mean, you're in New York, you're in Texas. Did you have a bit of time to kind of peruse around?
Yeah, definitely. Like, more so in New York, you know, we did a lot of, like, just exploring the city on the subway and walking and things like that, which is my favorite thing to do, especially in New York. It's just such a great city to just wander around in. Like, the architecture is always so cool. And then I got to see Jonathan Richman perform in New York. And he's one of my favorite songwriters. He's from the Modern Lovers. And that was amazing. And then while I've been here, I went to the El Rey and I saw Dry Cleaning perform, which was really cool. Saw Dune 2 at the Chinese Theater, which was awesome. And yeah, like, got to go to like the Comedy Mothership in Austin. I'm like a big comedy fan, and that's like a hub of a lot of comedy. So yeah, definitely been like trying to pack it in and also like take care of the energy, because when you're lugging gear everywhere and, you know, money, and there's lots of things to consider.
You definitely lived out one of my dreams, and that was walking around New York saying, I'm walking here. Love to do that at some point in my life. Not sure when I'll be able to do it, but it's like on the list of things to do. I'd love to ask you, what was on the playlist for your New York trip?
Honestly, absolutely nothing, because I had a concussion, and also I was like in a festival where there was just constant live music. So, and then also performing and everything. So if anything, and then the constant noise in New York, like, it's such a loud city, there's always so much happening. And also wasn't alone a lot. I was with my band a lot of the time. So yeah, music wasn't really there for me this time. It usually, if I'm like traveling alone or something and it's a different circumstance, I will. But in which case, I love to do like a Brian Eno Music for Airports type beat, like just super ambient, completely like disconnected from the environment around you, and it sort of makes you look at everything differently. But yeah.
One of the reasons why you were over there was the South by Southwest. Anyone that's been keeping up with it obviously knows that yourself, alongside Georgia Getsby, did pull out of this festival due to quite unethical sponsorship. First of all, I just want to say, like, I think I speak on behalf of a lot of people, and we're so proud of you guys for doing that. Mm-hmm. That is such a massive, massive decision to make on the spot, almost. Yeah, I'd love to get your thoughts on what was going through your head while this was all going on.
Okay, so basically, South by Southwest, which is this huge music, tech, and film festival that we got accepted to perform in Austin, Texas, one of their, or like a few of their largest donors, so we're not talking like a small amount of money, we're talking about like big donors, is the US military, a company called Raytheon, Collins Aerospace, and Bay Systems, and they all supply weapons and equipment, which is used in the illegal occupation of Palestinian territory. So like manufacture weapons essentially for the IDF. We're not talking about like some subtle like, oh, some dude is kind of weird and has this ties. It's just like the most kind of like direct blood money that you could possibly imagine was happening. And like, when you're walking around, like, they were like recruiting there, they had like a military stage and things like that. And yeah, just obviously with everything going on at the moment, it just felt like really, really, really sickening, and like a very confusing choice on South Bay's part. So that's what we were up against. Like, even when kind of all of the media and stuff started dropping about it, it was just like, oh, whoa, like, you're kind of fully coming up against this like the military industrial complex. Like, it's like, it was crazy. Yeah, we found out when we were still in New York. So we had kind of finished doing the shows and then got like wind of it. And basically just had a couple of days of just constant conversation between me, Ben, and Bella, and just considering like all of the different layers of things, you know, like, one, like, what is the best form of protest here? Like, is us pulling out even the most effective method? And like, who else does this affect if we do pull out? And what does it mean for this? And obviously there's financial things and all of that, but then like weighed up with this really, really, really horrifically unjust thing that's happening that's a lot more important than money or whatever. So we had a lot to kind of weigh up, and it really, like, that was it for those couple of days. It was just like, none of us could really think of anything else. We kept trying to finish the conversation and make, and like move on from it, but we just couldn't. And then we were set to leave Austin the next morning, and me and Bella were hanging out in my friend's apartment and packing, and we just both felt like sick to our stomachs, and it was just so obvious what we needed to do. It was just so obvious, and it had been, but it was just like taking the step to action and be really like brave and send the email, I guess, to say like, essentially, F you to this thing, this entity that you sort of like had almost begged to be a part of. And like, there was something about that that felt like a really big action that was hard in the moment to do, on reflection, like, obvious and easy decision, but yeah, just kind of like writing up that email and sending it off and being like, hey, actually, I know that I meant to be like begging you for a moment a moment in like at this festival, you know, and to perform for free and provide my own backline and everything, because I'll just, you know, but like, actually, no, like, I'm not going to support this. Like, absolutely not. This is despicable, disgusting. And we won't even entertain the idea that this is remotely okay. And yeah, sent off the email, and it was all from there. Crazy kind of sending that off. And then we sort of got on the flight to Austin and like landing, and kind of like, as New Zealand, you know, I just like did the post, you know, wasn't really expecting anything of it except for like maybe a few people here who were going to come see the shows, to maybe say something, maybe a little bit of backlash or something I was expecting. But like, when New Zealand woke up and like the amount of just support and love that we got, like, we could not believe it. Like, it was honestly like having a massive hug from home. And it felt so special in this place where we were just, yeah, it was like a foreign place, and it was kind of scary. And like, in the being at the actual festival, it's like there's big South By signs everywhere. There's military signs. Like, there's the majority, you're not like in the majority. So like, doing what we're doing and even like attending the protests and stuff, it was very, very much the minority. So yeah, getting that support from home, it like actually meant so much, and made it, yeah, a lot easier.
You were still roaming around Texas, even though you weren't at South by Southwest, if I'm not mistaken. You did play some gigs as part of, I think, Austin's for Palestine coalition.
Yeah, so we did a few unofficial showcases, and then we ended up playing an anti-South by Southwest showcase, which is actually run by like the socialist group there. And that was really cool. Like, the thing is just all the people we ended up meeting were like these amazing kind of like local venue owners, or like, yeah, members of the Austin for Palestine Coalition, and like union members there and union leaders and stuff like that. It's like, so we met a lot of people that just kind of like aligned with our values, and it was cool kind of being able to connect with those kind of people. Like, it wasn't what I came to South By to initially do, and actually like what I ended up finding was like this really beautiful community, rather than necessarily like finding some big shot that was gonna like change my career or whatever. It was quite interesting.
It feels very dystopian, I'm not gonna lie.
I know. like I was saying, like online and stuff, we were getting a lot of support. We were also getting a lot of hate because it got picked up by a lot of big media over here, like Time Magazine and CNN, and like it was crazy. And then, like, yeah, the governor just coming out and basically telling all the bands that boycotted to leave the state and stuff. Like, it was crazy. And like I said, being there and walking around and stuff, it did feel like we were in the minority, actually, like, speaking up about what was going on. But, yeah, I will also say, like, I talked to so many people who were attending the festival who also agreed and thought it was really messed up and just for whatever reason, like, felt obliged, like, maybe they were there for work or financial things or whatever. So I think there was a lot more support even than the 100 or so panelists and bands that did pull out. So one of my favorite moments was one of the guys that like came to our gig, one of our unofficial showcases. He bought my record, and then I saw him like later that day at the rally, and he was like holding my record, and he was like at the like anti South by Southwest rally, and I was just like, hell yeah. Like,
that's so cool. Sick.
Yeah, so just like, yeah, amazing shows. Like, the audiences have been really amazing, really attentive. Like, especially like, yeah, those New York shows were really cool. We played all sorts of circumstances, to like a few people to a lot of people, kind of variety. Yeah, just like you can't kind of even describe like what those kind of experiences are. It's why I do it, you know. It's why you kind of go through all of the other stuff. So that was really special, and I'm really glad that we got to do that in Austin and meet so many amazing people. And honestly, yeah, just felt like my heart was full, as much as it was also just like this really heavy, horrific thing at the same time. It was like, oh wow, there's also a lot of people that really care and are here for genuine reasons. Like, most of us are, like, you know, like, most of us are just working class people just trying to get by and do what we love and support our communities and things like that. And so that's always really heartwarming.
I saw that you were a finalist. I mean, not just a Tate Music finalist, which is amazing, but also in a songwriting competition. That's amazing.
Yeah. I know. That was so crazy because I like, it's this international songwriting competition based in Nashville, and like, yeah, the judges like Mariah Carey and Tom Waits and all this. And I applied a few months ago, just honestly out of desperation, because it has this cash prize and I'm really broke. And I kind of thought it was potentially a scam because, like, it's not super obvious. I don't know. It was just kind of like, haven't heard of it before. So I kind of applied, and then I found it a couple of months ago as a semi-finalist. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And yeah, and then I just got an email the other day saying that I was a finalist, which is crazy. It's like 2% of the applicants. And yeah, fingers crossed. I think there's like a voting, if anyone wants to vote for me, there's like a people's choice, and you can go on the website and vote. It's like international songwriting competition or something. But yeah, so now apparently, you know, Mariah Carey will just have a little listen to Carpenter and...
I just need a like reaction to Fake Milk.
You got fanboys?
What's on the cards for you for 2024 music-wise?
I don't know if I've said it publicly yet, but I probably have. I'm working on an album at the moment, working on my next album.
Well, while you were over there, were there any, did you have any inspiration, gain any inspiration?
Oh, 100%. Like, so much. I know that I'll probably write another record just based on the last month, but also just seeing so many, like, ridiculously talented, incredible performers that were just so passionate and like just so engaging to watch and things like that. So there's so much to take away. I just need to like process it, I guess. Yeah, hasn't quite fully set in.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.